Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Their number one need, starting pitching.
888-957-9570 is the number. Is this a trap game this week, Niner fans? People are saying it's a trap game. I can't wrap my head around that because there's too many injuries for this to be an actual trap. Like, it'd be one thing if, like, you were looking over it and you're like, oh, we got the Rams next week. You can't look over anyone right now with all these injuries, Joe. You just can't. And I don't think Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh are allowing the team to do so. And when you're coming off a season like you were last year, there's no. I'm not hearing a trap game.
Can I close the bow on something?
Absolutely.
Bonds and Draymond didn't have the off-field stuff, off-court stuff, but they're on the field, on the court, pretty problematic.
Yeah.
And I love both those guys. Who's the most problematic player you rooted for? Alden Smith is another one.
Charles Haley. I mean, Kobe Bryant.
That's the one, right?
Like, it's, and now how we talk about him because he's since passed is like, it's a totality. And I remember the day he passed and that whole week, it was during the Super Bowl, like leading up to that. Like, that's when it happened. Yeah. And the Niners were in the Super Bowl. It was, how do you talk about this guy? And I was very proud of our station, how we talked about it. It was, everything's not black and white. There's a lot of gray when we talk about people, the good, the bad, the ugly. I was not there in Colorado. I don't know what happened. Only he and the person that he was with that night know what happened. He was, you know, married at the time. I don't know. And that, how do you, and for me as a kid, I was like 7 or 8, Joe. Like,
yeah.
When that, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like,
so me with Charles Haley, like, I had no idea.
You had no idea, right? So, but you were older when that situation happened. So you probably viewed Kobe a little bit differently after that. Like, and people did. And, you know, what he ended up doing for women and women's sports and not having all those girls in his family. And obviously, like, it's a very delicate situation. And I don't know the right way to talk about it at times, but it goes by each individual
to make their own.
Yeah.
Their own guesses. I just wanted to close the loop on it.
Right. Yeah. No, it's an interesting conversation that it's, I don't think there's a right answer to your point. And by the way, Sports Talk on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. Get this. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series, Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King now, streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, we got Mia O'Brien joining us in 20 minutes, Joe. Mia O'Brien, ESPN Radio, covers the Jags, Club 904 podcast. She knows the lay of the land when it comes to all things Jacksonville Jaguars, as they are taking on the Niners this Sunday at Levi's Stadium. You want to go to the phones? We've got a couple callers.
Yeah.
Let's start off with Father Time, who, as we all know, is undefeated. What's up, Father Time?
Still undefeated. Hey, a couple things on this. You know, the big picture is sports fans, and then, of course, just regular people in society are willing to forgive if it's our guy,
yeah,
right? If it's your brother who got convicted of domestic violence and went to serious prison, well, he's going to deserve another chance. He's doing whatever. Whereas anybody else, the woman's family, he's persona non grata forever. To bring back to the sports world, you know, if it's you, like, not to say that Barry Bonds, don't get me wrong, Barry Bonds never did anything illegal, well, other than whatever. you know, he's our villain. Like, we love him. Sure. You know, he's the greatest. For everybody else, he's the worst. And
look,
so
look at Lawrence Taylor.
Between those two.
You know, I couldn't stand Lawrence Taylor, you know?
So let's switch to Tyreek Hill for a moment, because I'm in a fantasy league just like everybody else. And if you draft Tyreek Hill, you get kicked out of the league, basically. Because this dude, just hear me out. He strangled his girlfriend and punched her in her pregnant stomach over and over again, pled guilty to it, and got to keep on playing Division I football. Played NAIA for a year and then played Division I football. And yet people are like, well, he can run a 4.340 and you can go get it. In fact, there was talk about the Niners going to get Tyreek Hill. What do we need? Our you know, our receivers are depleted. That brings me to DeMarcus Robinson. Again, same thing. We're stoked. He's coming back. He's going to help the core. Well, if he was on any other team, it would just be, well, that guy, you know, multiple DUIs. Why is he in the league? But he's our guy. He's our DUI guy. And that's the nature of being not just a sports fan, but just being human, is that we personalize this where our guys are got a bad rap or can get better or anything else. And the fact is they can't, but we're going to look the other way.
Well, I believe I do believe, you know, because I know my dad was one of them. I do believe people can evolve over time.
Yes. Well, America,
good and bad.
America's what? The land of what? Second chances. That's what we say.
Some people get 50.
Right? And to Father Time's point, unfortunately, we are in a society where it is talent over tolerance. And yeah, Tyreek Hill could run a 4.340 and great. Everything else doesn't matter, which sucks. And that's how it's kind of perceived. And that's why people are a little jaded when it comes to, you know, the suspensions, to the policies, to all that. There was a time where the stain on the NFL was bad, and Roger Goodell had to navigate it. The whole Ray Rice, the video there, remember that, Joe? It was bad.
That was one of the most graphic videos. Oh, my God.
Oh, it was, and they didn't like...
Well, like, similar to P. Diddy, once I saw it, I was like, whoa. Like, whoa.
Exactly. And it's, you know, we're talking
the
about...
video always makes it
worse. We're talking about the Cowboys doc and all of this. Just think about how different it would have been if it was the social media era back then. Right? Like, if you had social media...
Which part?
Thank you. Like, we are in such a society now where everything is at our fingertips, and as soon as you see a headline or something or whatever, that's gonna shape how you view that individual going forward, no matter what.
Joe, they kind of glossed over it in the Dallas doc. Eric Williams was so hammered, he drove his SUV off the freeway and almost killed himself.
Yes.
And they were talking about, hey, it just ruined our chances to beat the Niners in 94. It's like, dude, he was lucky to be alive. And that was normal behavior for that entire team. And, like, I don't know, it was just very weird. He had scars on his face for life. It's just, it's like, wow, well, dude. Like, he was so lucky to be alive. And I don't think a lot of those guys, like, learned from that lesson.
Well, I looked up that guy because, again, I was 2 or 3 years old when all that happened. I was like, oh, Eric Williams, okay.
No, he was awesome.
Well, yeah, he was a great player, and then that happened, and then they glossed it over like, oh, nothing ever happened again. And then I look up at all the different accusations that happened with him when it comes to sexual assault, rape, all like, it kept, they just, again, glossed over it. Just, it was, oh, yeah, it happened that year. And the guy was a part of the documentary, and he was interviewed like it was nothing. Like, I don't know, man. It's a tough conversation to have, and it's a real one to have.
And I want to stop.
Yeah.
This is why people like Steph Curry and Hunter Pence, who have, you know, you never know what anyone's going to do down the line. But for the most part, you're just lucky to have them.
Absolutely.
This is why Steph's the best.
You see, Hunter Pence is going to be doing some ESPN broadcasting for their playoff coverage. He's going to be like in the studio. Pretty cool.
I love Hunter. I feel like he's gotten better and better and better. You know, we could have a conversation about whether you like Javi more or you like Hunter more.
Or both.
I go back and forth. I don't think any one person's going to be able to fulfill Kruko's absence one day.
Bobby in Los Altos, before we hit the break here and get Mia O'Brien, ESPN Radio on, talk some Jags at 9:20. What's up, Bobby? You're on the roast.
Hey, good morning. First of all, mad ups to that Jacksonville guy who calls into the enemy station just to get some intel. Super fan right there. But listen, I've been listening for a couple hours. I'm going to shotgun a couple things. But the main reason I'm calling is I absolutely do believe it's a trap game. I don't know why you're poo-pooing that. But first of all...
No, Bobby. I'm saying it can't be a trap game for a team that's, like, barely healthy. There's no chance that the Niners are looking past this Jaguars team with a backup quarterback, is what I'm saying.
Okay, I respectfully disagree with you on that point. But look, first of all, I know this is going to make Shasky upset, but I think, you know, as my homie, Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens said, golf is a good walk spoiled. I can't stand the sport. Sorry, Mr. Olympic Club, but Tiger Woods, I can't get behind that guy. I know he's the greatest ever, but I just cannot. I just think he's a bad guy. I can never get behind him. You know, sometimes, and I've done much worse things to my family than he's done to his family, but I don't know. Just some things, you just can't get past them and you can't root for them, even if they're the greatest. But look, the reason I think it's a trap game is just traditionally, no one respects the Jaguars, or whatever you guys would say. And so I think they are looking ahead to their divisional opponent because, yes, maybe in reality, of course, they have a lot of injured players, but the Jaguars are still the Jaguars. They're still the AFC South. So from a mentality standpoint, I think they don't respect them. And I think they think, hey, we're 3-0. We got players that have gotten us 3 wins that were not our starters, that were our backups. And I think they're going to continue to say Jaguars gonna Jaguar. And they're going to look ahead to the Rams game. So I absolutely think it's a trap game. You want to say from an injury standpoint, from a physical standpoint, I understand what you're saying, but from a mentality standpoint, which is what bad juju is, bad luck isn't ghosts and whatnot. It's mentality. It's the fact that you say, hey, I know I'm going to lose at the end, and so you lose. And that's what I think the mentality is that the Jaguars are just going to Jaguar, and we're going to beat them even if we're not at full strength. So I'm very worried about this game. And I don't care, and I'm sorry, no one loves Dr. Nirav Pandya more than Bobby, but I just don't buy that Mac Jones, he was limping at the end of the game. I cannot have that brother coming out looking like he's limping. That is my most terrifying part of this game. And I know he's not on the injury report, but please, let's protect the brother because I don't want to see no Martinez guy. All right? Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Bobby and Los Altos. By the way, what do you say? My homie Mark Twain, like they're tight? And Bobby, I'm sorry, I don't mean to call you out here. He says, I can't root for a guy like Tiger Woods. He said some horrible things to his family. I've actually done worse things to my family, but I can't root. I was like, Bobby, you're shooting yourself in the foot with this argument, my guy. But it's an interesting one, Tiger.
Here's what I would say about that. Tiger. I do look at him, and there are times where I think I see a lot of guilt and remorse at what he's done. And I think specifically if you see how he interacts with his son and stuff in front of the public, like you could tell, like I think he realized he took a lot of that for granted. I mean, you can't look deep, deep, deep inside his soul, but I don't know, man. I see a lot of regret on his face.
As someone, I'm not going to, you know, throw stones in glass houses, someone that has struggled in a prior marriage, I don't know what's going on with him in his own life. People go through stuff. People, you know, and whether it's his childhood, whether it's the relationship, multiple relationships, whatever, that is their business. Again, I don't like rooting for people that hurt, like physically hurt other people. Now, emotional abuse, that is absolutely a thing.
Well, he also was an addict.
He's an addict.
There's three different accidents.
There was drugs. There was DUIs. There was a lot of things. Pills. Exactly. So there's a lot. By the way, real quick on the Jaguars, Niners have won 5 straight against them, Sam. Did you know that? I wonder if Mia O'Brien knew that. She's up next. ESPN Radio covers the Jaguars, Club 904 podcast. We'll get the lay of the land when it comes to all things Jaguars, and it's going to be brought to you by LifeSource Water System.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Was the last time they lost, and that was at home in Jacksonville. This one's going to be on the road. So the Jags have never gone on the road to beat the Niners, and most of their matches have actually been in Jacksonville. But you have to go back to December 18th, 2005. David Garrard taking on Alex Smith, and the Jags would go on to be 10-4 after that game. The Niners would fall to 2-12. I know you remember it fondly. What? Hey, you've won five straight since then. It's okay. We got her. We got to boost the mood around here. And no one boosts my mood like Mia O'Brien. ESPN Radio covers the Jaguars. Club 904 podcast. Although she did dub me Joe 2, not Joe 1. That is you, Joe Shasky, not me, Joe Spadoni. Mia, good morning. We're just talking about the Niners' success over the Jaguars. Last time the Jaguars beat the red and gold was over 20 years ago. Get that.
20 years ago, I was in, I believe, the sixth grade up in New Jersey, and Duval was but a glimmer in my eye, so I cannot comment outside of David Garrard is still here in Jacksonville doing amazing things, and I want you to keep an eye out for his young son, who is a senior, I believe, this year at Fletcher High School. Garrard has made this, so I don't feel bad sharing it on the air.
Hey, Mia, I'm going to pat you down real quick. Your connection is spotty. We'll try to get you back on a better
line. From 2005.
I thought she was calling us from Jersey, actually. That's where I thought she was right now, not Jacksonville. But I didn't know she was from Jersey. There you go, the more you know. I think she's my age then. If so, 20 years ago, I also would have been 12, sixth grade. Yeah, I think we're the same age.
We never talk about a woman's age, ever.
I can't say we're the same age.
Yeah, she said,
I said 20 years ago, I was also in sixth grade. I'm saying we're the same age. That is okay. I think and honestly, the age thing, when it comes to women, I think we're past that as a society.
Well, I just...
Hashtag me too, Joe.
I have old school...
Me too.
No,
all right?
No. I have three. Old school, old school manners from my grandma, and there are certain things that you just don't discuss, and if they want to, that's on them. I just gonna leave it alone.
She discussed it. She said 20 years ago she was in the sixth grade. I also was, so there you go.
Just gotta let that sit there.
David Garrard, he had a moment in Jacksonville. Is he like, no, seriously, so it's Mark Brunell, as we're talking to the Jaguars. We're getting Mia O'Brien back in a second. It covers the Jacksonville ESPN Radio.
Blake Bortles.
He got to the AFC Championship. Joe, I kid you not, they should have won that game. They should have.
No, they shouldn't have, because they didn't go for any kind of moving of the ball with a lead in the first half against Tom Brady and the Patriots.
No, they had a Fugazi DPI call in that game by someone that gifted the Patriots that win.
I'm convinced Miles Jack was going to be one of the greatest two-way players we've ever seen. I know Travis Hunter is trying to do that now. Miles Jack at UCLA was a sweet running back in certain situations and linebacker, and he was sick on those teams.
Leonard Fournette, once upon a time.
Yeah.
He's same draft class as who? Christian McCaffrey, remember that?
Yeah, I believe he went higher than him.
He did. He was top four. I think he was number four overall. I could be wrong, but definitely a top five pick out of LSU. Won a Super Bowl, obviously, eventually with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady.
He looked sneaky old. Like Greg Oden, certain guys look sneaky old.
Well, because he was also bald at a younger age, too. So, that ages you. I mean, we're not all blessed to have that hair, that beautiful, luscious golden hair that you have over there, Joseph. So, we're not all blessed to have that. By the way,
man, it's getting thinner and thinner and thinner.
No, you look good, man. You look good. This Sunday, we're going to be back at Laughing Monk Brewing, Sunnyvale, for the kickoff show. Great food, great drinks, and great games in the parking lot. The show starts at 10 a.m. with E-Dog Evan Giddings and Lorenzo Neal. Plus, you can watch all the early games on that 10 a.m. slate. Plus, again, there's a lot of pluses here. Plus, a free shuttle to and from the stadium. That's
no!
right. Yes, that's right. Park at Laughing Monk for free. Join the party and then take the shuttle back and forth to the game. All you have to do to sign up and reserve a spot is go to 95centthegame.com, click on the kickoff show graphic, and then click on the Eventbrite link and sign up. See you there. But you're not going to be at the game this week, and you'll be watching from the couch.
Yeah, a couch. I don't know which one yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was too hot for you last week, so you're just like, I'm out.
No, Oh, I told you, dude. I got things I have to take care of. We got a lot of family stuff this week. I got this journalism thing that I'm doing on Saturday.
Okay, journalism, big journal.
Well, you know, as a big journal myself, okay. Big J Journal. You know, I'm going to talk to the kids. Actually, my particular segment is Be Yourself.
Be Yourself.
That's the name of my thing.
That's what Mia O'Brien always is. She is herself. Mia, we got you back. Sorry, we cut you off. We were just talking about, you know, you said you were in sixth grade 20 years ago. I had the gall or the audacity to say I also was in sixth grade 20 years ago. I think I was 12 years old then. I'm 32. And then Joe over here is like, you can't talk about a woman's age. You guys both being 32. Like, are we,
I didn't say any
Mia,
age.
Mia,
no,
are we past that?
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Most people think I'm 12. Most people think, and I know I just got a fresh haircut for those of you watching on TV.
Nice.
Shout out to Sam who thought I might be getting a mohawk. Most people think I'm 12 when I have my hair pulled up, or at least a 12-year-old boy. So I appreciate that we are the same age and that you are concerned about flattering me with my age. Like, I'm in that weird middle ground. I'm sure you feel the same way, Joe, too. Like, yeah. you're not old, but you're not young. And you're like, I don't really know how I should feel about this.
Yeah, I got two kids in a bunch of problems that's aged me about 20 years, so we'll leave it at that. Speaking of problems, what are the problems going on with your wide receivers dropping all these balls in Jacksonville, not helping out my guy Trevor Lawrence?
Hey, listen, I'm the one who went on every program over the summer and said buy stock in Brian Thomas Jr., and up to this point it has not looked like a productive wide receiver, let alone a top 10 wide receiver. Like, I told so many people that he could be in his sophomore season. And ultimately, I think that the Jaguars are now at a point where through the first 2 weeks of the season, it was, all right, they're just trying to get chemistry. But then to see Parker Washington, who, while yes, was a sixth-round pick out of Penn State, he's a returner, but has become a very capable number four wide receiver for this team, and also one of the most sure-handed receivers between the wide receiver room, the tight end room, and the running back room, and he drops two passes on Sunday. I know there are those who want to point at Trevor Lawrence and say, oh, well, look at him. It's he misthrows the ball. It's too hot. I was at practice yesterday, boys, and during the open viewing portion of practice, Seth Hennigan, the practice squad quarterback from Memphis, he threw a ball that went off Brian Thomas Jr.'s hands. So consider me concerned, too, because I, after seeing that yesterday, that was all the validation I needed. And I know it's a one rep sample size during essentially a walkthrough individual period portion of practice. But it's got to be a mental block at this point. And the concern is you hope it doesn't get in the water and seep into the rest of the receiving core.
I mean, I have him in fantasy in every league, dude. I'm not. This is not good.
Hopefully
this is not good.
PPR.
I'm going to ask a very simple question. You have watched every snap of his career. Is Trevor Lawrence good?
Yes, I do think he's good. I don't know if he's great, but he's good. Okay. He is at minimum. Like, I think that when it's a functional organization that he's within, he is a top 12 quarterback minimum. That's my belief. I do think that we severely overestimated when he was coming out of Clemson the idea of he had the ACC's all-time leading rusher in Travis Etienne in the backfield with him. They had a capable run game. They also had three future first-round picks along the defensive line. And so I think we underestimated the operation around him at Clemson, and we thought that he was this cure-all. But at the same time, he has Travis Etienne here. He has two first-round defensive linemen in Josh Hines Allen and Trayvon Walker, even if they didn't go to little old Clemson with him. And so the hope is, all right, well, he has those pieces now, so we need to see proof of concept. And I think a lot of that stems from, again, the operation, the offense that he was asked to run at Clemson versus the lack thereof under Urban Meyer, and the de-evolution, the regression of the offensive structure, not just the offense itself, but the offensive structure under Doug Peterson once he handed the remote control to his adopted son. Not adopted, but you know what I mean, with regards to the Chicago Bears, you know, passing game coordinator, Press Taylor. And I do think that Liam Cohen is a representative of not only the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan offensive tree, but also where the league is headed. And an offense that, well, yes, it has challenged Trevor up to this point because it did require him to rework his footwork, tie progressions to his footwork, and essentially, much like Tiger Woods did in 1998 to 2000, reinvent his swing. This was never going to be perfect from the onset, but I don't think he is the reason we're seeing those drops. I also think he's had one too many miscues to say, oh, he's undoubtedly a top 12 quarterback at this juncture.
So the video that we saw, most Niner fans are just, you know, scrolling Insta, TikTok, X or whatever the hell it's called, and they see the video of the head coach and Trevor Lawrence going back and forth. Much ado about nothing or something?
It's much ado about nothing from the takes that I saw on Twitter, to your point, that everyone thinks they're infighting. I think it's a good thing. Trevor told us afterwards it was a good thing, and Liam said it's a good thing. Because, again, I go back to not only that offensive structure, but I go back to, and I said this on my podcast, I said this on the Patreon, and I will say it to you guys live on the radio in the Bay Area. I don't know, with all due respect to Dabo Swinney and Trevor Lawrence's high school coach, if he has ever had a head coach ream him out and rip him a new one. But as he told us after that Bengals game, he needs to be ripped a new one. And he appreciates, perhaps for the first time in his life, my words, not his, actually being coached hard. And I think that that is huge. And that's where you look at the Baker Mayfields and Jared Goffs of the world and you say, who's to say with Trevor Lawrence turning 26 about 10 days from now that we don't see him turn the corner that we always thought he would? Because he finally has a coach who is not only holding everyone in the organization accountable, but is also continuing to evolve with where the league is going.
Talking with me, O'Brien, here on the Morning Roast, covers the Jaguars Club 904 podcast and also on ESPN Radio. Mia, last time we had you on, we were talking about, you know, Mac Jones and what, who is this guy? Like, what is he at this point? He's on the Jaguars last year, some spot starts in place for Trevor Lawrence. And it looks like he may be able to start again for the third straight week. Both of them limited in practice yesterday, Purdy and Jones, that is. If it is Mac this week, how motivated is he going to be? And obviously you referenced this was the childhood team that he grew up rooting for, right? He had a Blake Bortles jersey. Can we be looking at a revenge game scenario for Mac going up against the Jags?
1,000%. That's why I asked Trevor yesterday at the podium if he had spoken with McCorkle. And it did take him a second to be like, oh, right, Mac. Forgot that that's his birth name or his government name, I should say. No, and he said he texted Mac as soon as he won that first game against the New Orleans Saints and said how proud he was. They have a really interesting relationship, having, of course, been in college, been Heisman finalists through that same class and being drafted the same year, then working together in Jacksonville with everything else going on around it, to the point of Trevor Lawrence is willing to take the coaching from Liam Cohen because he's never been ripped a new one before. I would also say that as things devolved last year in the second half of the season, especially after Trevor Lawrence was done for the year, combined with the shoulder injury, coupled with the concussion he suffered at the hands of Azeez Al-Shaair, I think that you saw Mac Jones, and I could even tell you I saw this in training camp too. Mac Jones had no issue calling Press Taylor out on his ish. That maybe sometimes Trevor Lawrence would just kind of be like, okay, and find a way to work around it. Mac Jones is the type of guy where I know everyone wants to mic him up and hear him laugh and goof off, but he's going to hold you accountable. And to give respect to his high school coach, the late Corky Rogers, I think that was instilled in Mac at a young age. I think it's instilled by the fact that he was handed nothing when he arrived at the University of Alabama. He had to work for every single thing he had to rehabilitate his image after some off-the-field transgressions in his early years in Tuscaloosa. And I think that that adversity has built him to the point where now you see that he can handle just about anything, whether it's a 4-13 Jaguars campaign or being thrust into a starting role in San Francisco.
So this trade for Travis Hunter, right? I mean, he's just mesmerizing in college. I mean, he was dynamic. I was like, I don't know, man. Abdul Carter taking a guy who's, a real deal pass rusher who had a foot injury. But they traded up and they went after Travis Hunter, right? And time will tell. But when we go to practices, I know every team does it a little different, but the way the Niners do it, they've got 10 or 11 periods, at least during training camp, and sometimes you'll have cornerbacks working by themselves, sometimes wide receivers by themselves, sometimes they come together and they're doing individual kind of like group sessions, DBs versus wide receivers, et cetera. Then they get into 7-on-7, 11-on-11. How has it looked at practice for Travis Hunter? Is he just going back and forth between DB and wide receiver?
Literally, yes. Like yesterday was a great example of it because the Jags, once the regular season began, actually realigned and reconfigured their practice outdoor facility in that they moved the uprights to a different position on the field. And so the way that we are situated in the media where we stand along the end zone line behind the two uprights, we actually saw it like full throttle. He was first at the start of practice working with the defensive backs coach, Ron Miles, and some other defensive coaches, one-on-one walkthroughs, despite being in a wide receiver jersey. Then he went over and caught passes with the wide receivers and individual drills. Then he went back and did individual work with the DBs. And that's what we've seen throughout training camp. We'll continue to see it, whether he puts a penny on or not. They're just going to keep doing it. But what's really cool about it, Joe's, is this idea of they have every minute of his day predetermined, calculated down to the second of where Travis Hunter needs to be at a given time for the next 3 months. They already have it planned out. And yes, it fluctuates week to week, depending on what the game plan is, depending on what his availability will be, i.e. when he missed the 10 days during training camp, or at least was limited. And I think that it's flexible, it's malleable. They've had this plan in place since they drafted him, and it's been really cool to see it put into action.
What do you think he's better at? Or do you think he should maybe give up one side or just keep doing what he's doing? I'm just curious. I mean, you're there. Everybody's got opinions on players. Mm-hmm. What do you think he's better at?
Yeah. I think he's at his best when he plays both, if I'm being completely honest. And it's tough because Liam Cohen told us this in training camp and he admitted it yesterday. And I know it obviously, you know, made the rounds on Twitter. They are only right now having him play the slot at wide receiver because this is a long-term play. Next year, they will be teaching him the Z and the X. Not that he can't play those positions, but because he's also learning a defensive playbook, they are not trying to overload him right now. And so that's where it may not be perfect. It may not be beautiful year one. And I think that's okay because this is such a long-term play for the Jaguars and they're so invested in keeping him healthy for the long-term in addition to the short-term that it's one of those things that I know it's not going to live up to the fantasy football community's high aspirations for him in year one. But I do think come year three, when you are seeing him play every single snap on offense and defense, you'll be much happier. I'd also encourage you to go back, look at his freshman stats at Jackson State. He played both ways, but it wasn't at the rate that we saw at Colorado. So it's okay to say we may not see him playing every single snap at both positions until year two, year three. But to your point, I do think defensive back is his more natural position, but I think that's because he has such great ball skills, and so that's where you can't deny the talent he can be, especially in open space at the wide receiver position.
Talking to Mia O'Brien here, covers the Jaguars, Club 904 podcast, ESPN Radio here on the Morning Roast.
I think she's
roast.
One of the best people who cover football in the entire country. No, we talk to people from everywhere.
Absolutely.
And Mia, you just, I love it. Opinions with some facts, it's just incredible.
And she is very tapped in on all
the Brandon
things.
Brandon Ayuk thing didn't deter you guys? I'm glad.
No.
I thought that I was like, you I know we're cool. I'm worried about the Niners fans, the Niner faithful. I just hope, you know, I wasn't wrong. He was trying to get out.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I have a bone to pick with the Niner fans right now. They're not even excited about a 3-0 start, so there's that. But that's something we can talk about another time. No. Real quick, Mia, I want to ask you this because you are tapped in on everything. If we gave Kyle Shanahan truth serum right now and he had to give us his ranking of these three quarterbacks, how would he rank them? Mac Jones, Brock Purdy, Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, yep. I knew it was coming. Are we talking about them in their current form or when they were coming out of school?
No money
right
attached to any of them.
Right now.
Right now.
He probably puts Brock 1, and then he puts Trevor 2 and Mac 3. And that's just because Trevor has the best God-given gifts of the three. But in terms of processing speed, in terms of recognizing his role within the offense, but having sneaky athleticism, Brock trumps Mac in that department. But I do think, and I know it's probably being discussed in the Bay Area and it's discussed here quite frequently, if Trevor Lawrence was to ever get with Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay, look out, people, because yikes. I mean, I know everyone wants to question his processing speed, but I trust Nate Tice's opinion from Yahoo Sports. And Nate Tice said, if you actually go back and you watch the All-22, and even in talking to Liam Cohen these last few weeks, he's been so complimentary of some of the plays that Trevor has killed at the line, which last year it felt like every other play that was killed at the line then turned into a dud. But this year, including some third down conversions against the Texans, including the Brian Thomas Jr. cover zero first down throw that then resulted and set up the Travis Etienne touchdown to win the game against the Texans. That was all Trevor at the line of scrimmage. And so that's where I don't think this notion of, well, he goes to his first read or he can't see the field. It can't be true. I do think a lot's been put on his plate and a lot more than was put on his plate in the Mickey Mouse offense in Clemson, South Carolina. But I also think that we have to remember he's turning 26 next month. Like, again, You got to be patient. I will leave you guys with this. I think I said it last time. Derek Klassen of the Athletic Football Show said it. The comp for Trevor with Liam Cohen, if everything goes well, is Matt Ryan with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. And year one of that duo, they went 8-9-1, and there was a lot of headbutting because Kyle Shanahan challenged Matt Ryan and forced him to change much of his operation. I don't think that Trevor is nearly as stubborn as Matt Ryan was. He also hasn't been in the league and doesn't have as many pelts on the wall as Matt Ryan did circa 2016. And so that's why I hope it's an even easier learning curve than it was for Matt Ryan with the Falcons and Shanahan once upon a time.
He does have way better hair, though, than Matt Ryan. We could all agree on that. I mean, this that lettuce, Mia, let's be honest here. It is the best hair in sports, is it not? Come on.
It has to be. I've thought about it, especially with Patrick Mahomes cutting his hair. Like, I wouldn't know it's Trevor if he cut his hair. Like, I truly do. And I spend, like, a lot of time around the guy. And, like, I don't know if I would know it was him.
We're sleeping on Trey Lance and Trey Young?
Oh, stop. Don't be mean to those guys. Come on. Stop it. Hey, Mia.
KD?
Mia, really good stuff this morning. We really appreciate your time.
Hey, I appreciate it. And do you want to tell the folks, Joe One, the fun's going to continue in a little bit if y'all want to hop on YouTube with us in about an hour's time.
Oh, bearing the lead. Let's go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on?
I'm going to jump on our podcast.
You keeping secrets?
I want Joe, too, to come on, too, but you may have a meeting, I was told. Clearly, I want all clearly you guys not. On. I think we're going
to
have a lot of fun.
Your people didn't reach out to me, so now I'm offended. You know what? I don't even, I'm not even going to check in.
No, my people is Sam Lovin, your producer.
Oh,
well,
wow,
the bouncer
Sam.
At the Club 904, we don't let Spadoni's in.
It's fine. You know, it's the mustache, isn't it, Mia? You can say it. It's the mustache this week. I cut off the beard, and it's the mustache.
What's
it's
funny,
fine.
I can't even see you because my face is actually covering you in the interface. Wow. So right. I still don't know what you look like. It's very sad.
You're missing nothing.
It's fine. It's fine. It's just a
Mia,
bit.
You do
it's
a great
big
job.
Nose,
I can't
Mia.
Wait to talk
yeah,
to you
thanks,
again.
Mia.
Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you, Joe. Let's talk soon.
She's excellent.
There you go. That's Mia O'Brien. Covers the Jags, ESPN Radio Club, 904 podcast. Well, it's true.
She's right.
Everyone is awful last year.
I mean, it's like, hey, no, I'm talking about Clemson, too.
Oh.
She's like, you know, I watched a lot of Clemson, and I remember thinking, like...
Y'all did. They were on, it was Nash, everything. Yeah.
And my boy, this is back when they had Deshaun Watson, we were like, hey, dude, it's all slants and go routes. That's the entire offense. And then they got ATN, and it was all underneath, and then slants and go routes, and that's it. And there just wasn't a lot of what I would call, like, NFL-type reads and throws and concepts. And, you know, you're kind of seeing Dabo might need to take a hike from Clemson.
Oh, I thought Jesus fix everything, Dabo. Oh, no. He doesn't. Can't fix that offense. Yikes.
He does a great job covering the team.
She's one of our favorite guests, Mia O'Brien. She does a great job. And it's funny you bring up Deshaun right there in comparison to Trevor Lawrence because everyone was crowning Trevor. Early. He's after that freshman season, Joe, you just knew whenever Trevor was coming out, it was like Caleb Williams more recently. It's like, all right, this guy's gonna be number one overall. Doesn't matter. Lock him in there. He's locked into place. That's gonna be the guy. There's a lot more questions around Deshaun Watson being a number one first round pick coming out of that draft class once upon a time. And he shut up people very quickly. You saw the arm talent almost immediately when he was on Houston. Then obviously he gets hurt. All the allegations come out. But he was that dude coming out of Clemson early on there. I'm still waiting. Like, he had that one really good year, Trevor Lawrence. And that's why I'm still holding on to that season. What was it 2022? 25 touchdowns, 8 picks, 4,100 passing yards. He was great. His completion percentage was 66, the highest of his career. That's still the high watermark for him. Can he get back to it? I mean, that was his first year with Doug Peterson, and it was clear. Like, there was a grown-up in the room. Doug Peterson, Super Bowl-winning coach, offensive guy. They just could never get back to that level for whatever reason. And I don't know if he can, but I do like the comp that Mia brought up that, like, they're hoping it could be like a Matt Ryan situation in Atlanta, that Kyle Shanahan, when he was the offensive coordinator there. And it took a little while. They were 8-9-1, as he referenced. And then maybe next year they take that next step. But I do think it's always a fun exercise when we have these number one overall picks. Like, man, what if Caleb was with Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay? Or, like, we thought Trey Lance was supposed to be that. Did we not?
And it kind of anyone can bust.
Exactly. Anyone can. Cut that, please. But, like, it's true. It's absolutely true. What? What?
It's science.
It is. It is. 888-957-9570 is the number. I'm not viewing this as a trap game. I refuse to. This is not a trap game.
This is coming from the same guys. You better beat the Saints going away.
Well, they should have. They almost did. They kind of let him hang around in that game, did they not? They did, in hindsight. What? You're looking at me like
the NFL.
Mouth is a gate.
Hello, newsflash, guys. This is not the NBA where they're just like, we don't care about tonight. We're partying in South Beach. We don't care about tonight's game. It's the NFL.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This team is too hurt to be sleeping on anyone, Joe. They're not sleeping on this team. They're not saying, you think Mac Jones is being like, God, if we got the Rams next week, he doesn't even know if he's starting. Like, this whole notion is insane that this is a trap game to me. I'm not buying it.
That soundbite for me is going to live on for a while, huh?
Which one? Oh, the one that I just said to cut? Oh, they'll grab it. They will.
Stop, boss. Pause.
Well, do you want to hear what the opposition's saying? Liam Cohen, the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
He's a goofy guy. Yeah, let's hear what he has to say.
How is he prepping? Because they don't even know who's starting this week for the Niners. Here's his thoughts.
Preparing for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
We're preparing for both scenarios. Obviously, two different style quarterbacks. Brock has been able to operate that offense at a high level, obviously. He's off schedule. He can make plays. He can escape and keeps his eyes down the field really well. And then if it's nothing there, he can take off and go a little bit. So, we're preparing for both scenarios as best as we can. And whichever way it kind of plays out, I think our guys will be ready.
And this is another interesting one. How do you prepare now, or do you prepare differently with the loss of Nick Bosa and being out for the rest of the year?
Huff and Mykael Williams, correct? He's those two guys specifically on the edge. I mean, they're good players. These guys Huff has affected the game in multiple different ways with his speed, rush, being able to go on the edge in those known passing situations. And then Williams is an every down player right now for them in terms of, he's big dude. The way that they coach them up front is to roll off the ball and they're kind of stopping the run on their way to the quarterback. He fits that model, does a nice job playing violent against tight ends. Yeah, it's still a challenge. I mean, it's for us, obviously, with Bosa, you never want to see that happen for any player, especially somebody that is so dynamic for them. You don't want to see that happen, but it's not, those other two guys are going to be able to go too.
What's so funny? What are you laughing about over there?
Just the YouTube chat. Hilarious.
Oh, okay.
I'm like crying. What? I guess Goo had an explosion mouth comment at some point. Do we have that drop?
Yeah, it's right here.
I just like the explosion of when it goes in my mouth. I will never get duped again.
Donut butt! Black mitts!
You're a natural, Richard.
What?
The noise shook me.
Three career farts in my 12 years on air.
I can just keep going. I'd cut most of these. Like, so there you go.
My guy has an all-time hits. This is like Draymond Green's mixtape of just like messing with people on the court. That's guruism.
I thought you were laughing at Liam Cohen basically trying to gas up like Bryce Huff and Mykael Williams, who have been great, who've been awesome. He didn't even know Mykael Williams. He's like, Mykael, wait, is that who that is?
Huh? You got to do the explosion in my mouth.
I would run around the studio naked.
The context in all of these is just, it's out of control. But he knows.
I might go viral.
He knows, and that's why he does it. So there you go.
I was drugged!
He goes, I mean, there you go. Yeah. This is Steiny ones for me.
Blake Snell, he stinks. Lamar Jackson stinks.
It's those ones for me. Trevor Lawrence, that one actually kind of works.
He'll just show that opinion.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. What is this one?
I am Jake Paul.
Okay, there we go.
Never in his life.
Could he point out Jake Paul in a room full of Jake Pauls?
Oh, I'm Steph Curry. Don't interrupt me.
You feel better now? You got your laughs out? You feeling good?
It's just the drops, dude.
What do you think of Liam Cohen and how he said they're going to, you know?
I don't care about Liam Cohen. What I do care about is Bryce Eldridge. Last night, he finally got to get back into the game.
And what a segue.
I just don't care about Liam Cohen. I'm going to tell you this right now. All right, you guys, right now.
Hey, he raised his batting average up like 75 points yesterday.
He ripped one off the wall. You throw this guy a fastball, he's going to crush it. They threw him nothing but breaking balls and then finally finished him off with a fastball on the first at-bat. He was sitting first pitch fastball, second at-bat, ripped one off the wall for a double. This kid's a stud. He's an absolute stud. We just got to keep playing him.
He's just only fastballs, though. He's throwing anything off speed.
Now we get to the third at-bat.
Oh.
Third at-bat, they're shifting him over, and it's a breaking ball away, and he did what took Jung Hoo Lee like 4 months to do. He hit a line drive ground ball down the third baseline for another single.
So he's better than Jung Hoo Lee.
No, I'm just saying. He's
basically
showing
kind of what you were saying right there.
He's showing you how to adjust in real time.
Exactly. Hey, and Jung Hoo Lee adjusted on this season and ended up salvaging it. Was he batting around 260 now? This has been a pretty good year for Jung Hoo Lee, all things considered. It's also a good time and a good year for Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
You are all cards on the day. You're all in on Bryce Eldridge.
He's all fun. By the way, did you see what Rafi Devers did last night?
Splash hit.
It's freaking amazing.
My brother was at the game with two of his sons.
My mom went to the game. She had a good time.
My nephew Noah, my nephew Blake. Yeah. They had a good time. Noah, huge Giants fan. Huge.
Turn the music down just a little because I do want to get serious for just a second, if you can, Carter. I want to say that I'm going to miss Tom Farnham, one of my dad's older friends. Great man. He recently passed away, and the LaRocca family, I love you. My family loves you. It was really sad to hear one of my dad's buddies growing up. Having gone on, I know he's been struggling the last couple of years. But when I think of like vitality and strength and humor and how to be a man and to be a good person and just someone who was so gentle to me in my life and in so many different ways. Tom, you are a great man. I love you, and your legacy lives on forever. And to the LaRocca family that's out there, I love you. I'll see you soon. And I know he's up in heaven right now playing ball with my dad.
Well said. Didn't know the man, but if that is how we are remembering him, it sounds like he had and lived a good life, and it was full of love.
One of the great joke tellers.
There you go.
Great smiles. He would put me in a headlock.
There
he was
like
this big, strong man. And, God, he was just a good dude. Just a freaking really good dude.
Well said.
I love him and I miss him.
Sam, your final thought this morning.
My final thought is, with three games left, is Willy Adames going to get these 30 home runs? And what kind of, I don't know what I would say is nervous, but he hit his 28th home run earlier this month at Oracle, and afterwards, me and the rest of the press contingent went to approach him about hitting 30 home runs, and he stopped us before we can ask any questions because he didn't want to jinx it, and he hasn't hit a home run since. So, I hope we didn't jinx that.
Carter. Oh. Wow, you're just fading yourself out there, getting to double serious?
I don't even know what I was thinking
there.
What are
you doing,
dude? I don't
know.
Exploding your mouth over there?
It's science.
Okay. My final thought of the day is this is going out to Steiny's friend. Just relax.
Oh, Harry?
Yeah, Harry, relax. They're 3-0. Your record is what you are.
Thank you.
I mean, period, in this league. You can say a guy dropped a catch here and a guy dropped a catch here. That's the NFL, pal. That's the way it goes.
Thank you.
And I'm not saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl or any of that. I'm just saying they're 3-0. Enjoy it.
I'm going to give Sam credit real quick, here, Joe. Sam credit for this one because Harry wasn't cherry picking his stats. He was Harry picking them. That's a 5. I'm giving you credit for that, Sammy. It's a good one. He's giving me a thumbs up like, great, thanks, congratulations. You know what my final thought is today? Dude. This is a like a belated Fast Five final thought. I'm all in on Bad Bunny. It's the best. He's the best. I'm all in.
The best.
Reggaeton. I am locked
best.
In. I am jumping
not the
all in. No, no, no.
Not
Bad
Mozart,
Bunny.
Not
the
Michael
concert.
Jackson.
I streamed it on Amazon Prime Saturday
not
night.
Madonna.
All in.
Not the Stones.
Bad Bunny's better than all of them.
All of them.
All of them. It's not even close. I need to go to Puerto Rico just to go to a concert. Carter, are we going? We were talking about that. You want to go?
I'm down.
Let's go.
He's the best musician ever.
Currently, he is.
No.
He's currently the best.
Ever.
No. I said I'm all in. I said I'm better than all those
others. He's the best.
I'm not
ever.
A best. I'm not a big Beatles fan or Madonna fan. So that's an easy bar to clear for me. I'm not a huge fan of those.
But you respect.
I can respect what they did, but I'm not like that's not my music that I listen to. I mean, I'm Bad Bunny. That is the music
you know
I'm listening
right now.
To right
you
now.
Might not be a Beatles fan at all. Their catalog is goated. So like, I know you guys all love
you
Bad
can
Bunny.
Feel
I'm not
that way.
On Bad Bunny.
Hey, this is my final thought, not your final thought. So Bad Bunny, I'm all in. How about that?
All right, we'll see.
And
we'll see how long
the Latin
last.
American audience is with me.
I'm not
we'll
denying
poll
it.
Tomorrow, we'll put a poll on it.
I'm not denying it.
If you're like, in or out on Bad Bunny,
can you guys at least like you know Mozart's been around hundreds of years. You know, like some of those things.
You're
like,
gonna go Mozart on me, Amadeus, what? Wolfgang.
What?
You're going Johann Sebastian Bach. You want to go Ludwig von Beethoven? Is that where you want to go?
I'm just saying, you guys like
Vivaldi,
like. I get that the thing I just saw last night is the greatest thing of all time. There are some artists out there that are still selling.
Dude, you just want Madonna. You don't listen to Madonna. Stop.
You can hate on Madonna all you want. She had a hit in every decade.
Great. Congratulations.
Going back to the early 80s.
Is she on your Spotify playlist or Apple Music, whatever you're
You've
on?
You've got to have a couple of Madonna songs. Are you kidding me?
Zero chance. I'm putting
you
Madonna.
Wanna, you want
You literally have Madonna beds on your bed sheet.
That's
yeah,
not
dude,
mine.
Who are you
I didn't,
kidding, dude?
I didn't put them there.
Like what?
It says Spadoni's beds.
Yeah. I haven't been a producer for a minute, Carter. That means someone altered it. All right?
No, those were there when you were on the board.
I didn't put those in. That was Sterling, probably.
No, that was me. I think Bonte wanted them.
Exactly.
See, but I'm blaming you, so
oh, Bonte
that's how
likes
works.
It. See, Bonte would be in on Bad Bunny. I'm going to ask Stein.
I'm not saying he's not good, but stop. Best ever.
I didn't say he was the best ever. I said I'm all in. You're putting words in my mouth again. What is wrong with
it's
you
the radio. You
these
can't
days?
Do that.
No. Joe, you hear things that you want to hear and you get mad about it. That was Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity, introducing the 5-year price guarantee. One consistent internet price for the next 5 years, guaranteed. Steiny and Goo okay. Next, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Bad Bunny is also here for you, here for good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.